This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us from Hearts and Bones, Andrew Lurie, or Sebastian as you might know him. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
This movie is an incredible one, and it deals with a subject matter that is, I think, so important right at this time in the current political climate around the world, but also one that sounds like it was very close to home for you. Andrew, you are a Sudanese Australian. Tell us a little bit of your backstory and how you came to be living in Australia.
Well, it is actually a very long story. I went to Egypt, and because to apply to come somewhere like this, you have to be out of your origin country. I ended up in Egypt, in Cairo. And after 4 years, we were accepted to come here, and we went first to Northern Territory in Darwin in 2003. And from there, the weather was actually not encouraging, so we decided to come down here to Melbourne.
Yes, and Melbourne gets all seasons in one day. So do you feel like you made the right choice moving to Melbourne?
Yeah, the weather is here. It's actually good. It's sometimes too cold, but compared to Northern Territory, it's quite different.
Yes, I think Melbourne would be much nicer. But you've seen so much of the world then, obviously seen cultures of all different kinds. In living the life of somebody who carries the label of refugee, I feel like that doesn't often give full credit to all of the different places you've seen, all of the different work that you've done. Is it a label that you're happy to carry, or would you prefer that it wasn't part of the way people talked about you or described your experiences?
Well, it's something that actually brought me here. But, you know, in a film, you just follow your line and what you're required to do. You remember I was in India, and the interviewer came and said, this is a refugee but I'm not a refugee. I'm a citizen. But the story in a film is of a refugee, but I'm no longer a refugee. You know, if you're resettled, you're no longer a refugee. This is the way it works. But it's good actually to represent the refugees all over the world and let other people also know. And your question also reminded me when we were in Toronto. The lady who organized, the director who organized the film festival there, she broke down and she said the film reminded her so much because of her dad. Her dad went to South Sudan and she's in prison. So she broke down. She said she watched hundreds of movies, but she never broke down at place of work before. But this film made her break down.
And I think that is part of the power of Hearts and Bones, because it shows the humanity behind labels, behind stories, behind countries, that we often can get really locked in certain stereotypes about. But it's also incredible to think that this is your first movie. Watching it, I don't think people would realize that you hadn't acted before. How does somebody who has never acted before end up in a movie alongside Australian icons like Hugo Weaving and being in this award-nominated film?
Well, you know, the director went around the world looking for one person. He went even to US just looking for one person for this role. And they just thought, they say, oh, there's a lot of them in Melbourne. Let's go to Melbourne. And that's how they came here. And I sent my name and I was picked out. And because most of the things that they wanted the person to do, I was able to do them. And then he gave me his word. He said, I trust you. So the word trust, it means a lot to me, you know. And the producer was actually joking with me, and he said, you don't know what you have put yourself into. I didn't know all, because they didn't give me all the, you know, the lines first. And so when we got into it, I decided to do it. I said, I would have to do this thing. If I didn't do it, means I won't do anything in my life again. Whatever hard or easy or whatever it is, I have to do it exactly the way they want it to be.
Yeah, embrace the experiences that come your way. I think that's really important. And Sebastian's character is really nuanced. He is a taxi driver. He is he's been a dad. He's been a husband. He's about to be a dad again. And he comes across Hugo Weaving's character, this war photographer, and it really does kick off a pretty incredible, pretty eye-opening friendship. How close to your own life experiences was the role of Sebastian?
Well, our lives is just similar to this story. So I didn't find it very hard for me to play that role because I know similar stories and I went through some of them as well. And it was actually exciting to be, it's just every time we do it, it's just reminding me of problems that were happening back there. And with Hugo, once we sat down, he's a very, very lovely guy. And he said, look, we're learning from each other. But I'm not sure exactly what he's learning from me.
I think how to just roll with the punches and embrace the new experiences, because it would have been, I think, a pretty rare thing for he and others like him on the set to watch somebody just come at a role, even coming at learning lines without all of the practice and the training and the sort of aspects of hard work they've had to do. You just owned it.
Yeah. Yeah, we try hard to do it because actually my lines is more than Hugo's lines. I have 2,100 words.
Whoa. Yeah, see, Hugo Weaving may have done big movies like The Matrix and others, but it'll be your turn next. I think the world just needs to be ready for that to happen. And one of the big questions that Hearts and Bones does ask and really looks at is how to tell the story of people who've had difficult backgrounds, who are being represented in war photographs, in the kind of gallery experiences that we often see here. As somebody who has moved to Australia as a refugee, obviously, as you've mentioned, that's very far from what your life is like now. How do you think we should talk about the refugee experience? Do you think exhibits and showing some of the most hellish moments of people's stories is a helpful thing to do?
It's very, very crucial, if you pay a bit of attention there, it will let you realize exactly how other people are suffering from things of bad government, bad politics, and such things. Africa is a place that is actually blessed, but there is no rulers. People who are rulers in the government doesn't pay attention. They pay attention only to their interests and something like that. Now, I imagine, look how we get water here, drinking water. They have to be processed through a lot of things. But there, the rules there are not very good. They are not good leaders over there. And to let this thing be known to other people, it attracts a lot of people. They pay a lot of attention to it. So it was really good to have it there. And then at the end of the film there, people at the, are in the water with boats, and this is the way how other people try to come in here. See, all this is struggle. And sometimes I'm thinking to myself, I say, to those who came early settlers, are they really prison? If the prisoners could do something like this here, then we need more prisoners to other places as well. These people are professional. They are not prisoners.
Yeah, it's a very different way of thinking about it, and it brings a new side of the conversation into people's thinking, which I agree with you. It's important. You're showing people something that they otherwise maybe wouldn't actually think on. And we see in Sebastian's character also a really great relationship that he's formed with others in his local community. The role of music, the role of faith in his life is so important. What role do music and faith play in your own life?
A lot, because one of my cousins was actually a bishop. He is a founder of a Pentecostal church in Sudan. And then gradually he was elected as a deputy of human rights in Sudan. So the church is a very, very important thing to human life, especially to my life. And so we grew up as believers, and I play this music and we play all these things, you know, we start from the church. And even in the house here, I have a lot of musical instruments. I'm still collecting them, and I'm not tired. Even I'm still collecting because I love how to play music. I love how to use them and something like that. Music and church and something like that is actually something very, very interesting. It makes people go straight in life.
I like that. It makes people go straight in life. I think that's really special. And I imagine, too, that it's something that helps you manage the tough times because, I mean, in the movie we see this, I think, in a lot of our listeners' own lives, music allows you an escape and faith gives you a focus. Has that been the case for you? Does your faith help you focus and help you get through the myriad of experiences that you've had and all of the different places that you have gone? Does it help you find hope?
Sure. This is the first thing that you try to find, because people with faith make friendship very, very quickly, because you don't care where the person is from. You don't care where they came from or something like that, because people of faith actually focus on one thing, God, and that's it. So coming together, even with this lockdown, I mean, when we came here, we searched for the church, and we found one of the churches, and the pastor was very, very surprised. He told me he's very, very surprised that he dreamed a few days ago that Africans came here and went to his church. So when I came there, he was very, very surprised, as we meant to be there in his church. And it actually increases his belief in God, that whatever he's doing in the church is real, and God is real too.
It's pretty cool. I like seeing the details of people's lives come together like that. And for all the people that are going to be watching Hearts and Bones, is there anything that you particularly want it to leave with them, or that you'd like for them to learn from having watched it?
Well, for them, first of all, to see me there, that's a big thing, because none of them had ever been in any film before. And to be in a big thing like that is just very wonderful. I met some of the youth around here. They say, we want to follow your footsteps. The way they're very, very happy, and, you know.
What have you really learned from living the life of an actor? Is it something that you've enjoyed, or have you had an insight into just what's involved?
Well, I went to places where I'm not supposed to be, and I am around rubbing my shoulder with VIPs. And in India, they gave me a trophy, and everyone wanted to take a photo with me, and until the security has to, you know, to stop them doing that. One of them held my hand and pulled me in a side where there was actually a bit of blood, you know, so the security won. They went for an interview with me. And in Canada also, we did the same like that. And Screen Australia also asked me to mention how they spend their money in Canada. So many things. Sometimes people are greeting me somewhere. I don't even know. I don't even think they're greeting me. Sometimes I don't respond. I don't know they're talking to me. I feel I'm not an important person, but it actually placed me somewhere where I have to be in a certain position that I have to, like an important person. This is just this one role, you know, it changed my life. Though it's not about being rich or get the lifestyle that I don't have. It's not like that. But it's about being close to people and telling the truth. So with interviews, always I tell the truth. It makes answering things easy to me.
Yes, if you tell the truth, you're always going to be able to just tell the same story the same way, and it makes life a whole lot easier. But Andrew, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Congratulations on all your successes so far, and I really do hope that more come your way.
I hope so. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.